Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior. He is gracious and compassionate. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for another day. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm excited for life. I'm excited. So as we started, I'd like to say thank you and welcome. For those of you who are tuning in We are New Beginnings Ministry. If you're here for the first time, we're New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Amen.
Amen.
You can tune in.
Amen.
You're part of this. You're interactive. What does that mean? That means you have an opportunity to ask a question or to share this evening. Amen. We have been going through the book of Proverbs. We've been going through the book of Proverbs, and we are now on chapter 30. Amen. Glory to God. And if you've been journeying with us in Proverbs, let me tell you something. You should be a little wiser. You should be a little wiser. Should have spoke to you in some kind of way. Whatever journey, whatever life that you're going through, whatever you're going through, it should have spoken into your life. Amen.
Yes.
Isn't life all about how we learn from our mistakes? Amen. So I am so happy that our Lord and Savior is compassionate. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And He is gracious. Oh my goodness. This sounds like New Jersey excited over there. Just as excited as me. Hallelujah. I don't know about
Hallelujah.
You, but I'm excited, even though it is 7 o'clock this evening, I feel like I just woke up to a brand new day. Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. This evening, again, you truly will be sharing the word with you. We will be completing chapter 30 of Proverbs. Amen. Of course, you know, on the first is our prayer week. That is our prayer evening. We have none other than Mother Gloria from Call Unto Me Ministry, a woman who was sold out for the Lord.
Yes,
she's on every morning. She's motivating everybody that comes on every morning. And let me tell you something. She has sold out to the Lord. What does that mean, sold out? That means that nobody buys her. The world can't buy her. She is sold out to the Lord. Amen. And we're thankful for her. We're going to go in prayer as we normally do. She is going to pray. I do have a few on prayer requests that I am going to ask for. And if you could just shout out whoever it is that you would like for her to add on to the prayer list. Amen. I believe that the Lord is present at this time. And when God is in the house, let me tell you something. I'm expecting some things to be changed. I'm expecting to hear testimonies.
I don't
know about you, but that's how I feel. We like to add on our prayer list this evening, Cheryl Roeder, who has left a family member from out of New York. Cheryl Roeder. We have Sean Wilborn from out of Princeton. My wife always says name that. Sean Wilborn. We have Janetta Hobbs on our list. We have Tina Hobbs on our list. And if you have someone that you would like to add on the list, you can share it publicly or silently. Silently, what does that mean? Or you can just whisper it in your mind. I mean, whisper the name in your mind. And the Lord knows who you are calling out. Amen. So I'm going to move out of the way and have a long way to go in Proverbs. Amen. But we're going to pray and get through it. Amen.
I want to remember Rita and Eric and Mike.
Can you hear Mother Gloria?
Yes, I'm here. God hears better than I do. He got it. All right.
Amen.
Continue.
Go ahead. Anybody else? Any other? And oh, my goodness. I have them on mute. Let me put everybody, take everybody off of mute. Okay. You are now on. Your mic is on, and you can call out whoever you would like to add on to the prayer list. Amen. Your mic's open.
I want to put my Destiny Miles on there. Things started off kind of rough for her at Rutgers University, but things seem to be turning around. So I want to put her on the prayer list. Destiny Miles.
Praise the Lord.
Destiny Miles, okay. Are there any others? All right.
A friend of my sister, her mom, her name is Sandra. I don't know her last name right now, but she's almost 75 years old, and she had a fall. but also Mrs. Elaine Brewer. She had a car accident on the other day, and she's in her 80s, and she's not doing well with one of her legs. So, Elaine Brewer.
Okay, we have one. Hold on one minute.
That's okay. I'm finished. And,
I'm sorry. Can you hear on Zoom? Those of you on Zoom, can you hear? Those that are talking?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead, Minister Herman. Minister Herman?
No, I'm finished, sir. That's fine.
Elaine Brewer? Okay. Car accident. Okay. Okay. Well, praise God. Thank you, God. Let's go to the throne.
Joanne Wilson.
All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Heavenly Father, our God, here we are once again on a Wednesday, God, collectively, God, calling out the names and the situations of all of those that have gone that you already know about. So, God, we're just going to say thank you for what you're going to do, how you're going to move in every situation. You know the names, God. You're so good, God, that you already know the names, the hairs on their head. You know all about your Rodin's family loss, God. And you said, God, we may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God, we pray that you would be the comforter, God, for the road, the family, God. We pray for Sean Wilburn, health, God. We know, God, you said by your stripes we already healed. So we're thanking you for healing, God. We're paying for Pastor Robinson tonight, God, lifting up his situation and what he's going through. We thank you, God. You want the people of God to know, I got you. Whatever you're going through, God, if you got health issues, if you got someone that has been, that lost work, that you call home, God, but I thank you for that prepared place that you have for us, God. You didn't leave us homeless, God. You let us with a place where every day is Sunday. God, I pray for Evangelist Hope, whose husband is in ICU. I thank you, God, that you're omnipresent, God. You're at the hospital. You're at the nursing home. You're wherever we may be. I pray for Destiny Miles tonight, God. Lifting her up, God. You know all about it, God. So move, God. You want them to know. I already moved because I know your situation, and I want you to know that I got it. We thank you, God, for Sandra's, God, for her mom, God. Yes. And you know all about her. You know about Elaine Brewer, God, the car accident, God. You know all about Joanne, God. And you know all Wilson, God. And you know about A&C, God. You know, God, every name that's been called, even those that have not been called, you know all about it. And you want them to know tonight not to worry. Not to worry, because you say, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. And you want them to be, you would be there for me, every situation that they might be going through tonight. If we could just look to the hills tonight, see, we got to look to the hills for when our help and our hope and our peace come from and say, God, I thank you. How are you going to bring us through? So, God, for the lesson that's going to be taught tonight, God, we pray, God, for the moderator, for praying for Elder Clay as he comes forth. Thank you for his wife, how you kept her, how you brought her through, and now she's back home. Yeah. You're that kind of God you want us to know. There's nothing you don't bring us to that you won't bring us through. So, God, in my closing prayer, we're going to say thank you tonight. Thank you, God, in all things. The word says, be in space. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever for being in my mouth. So in closing, God, we thank you tonight as we come collectively, God, individually and collectively, thanking you for already knowing about every situation, every name, everything that we've gone through, and you want to encourage your people tonight to let them know, I got you. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. give you the highest praise, and the praise is hallelujah. Now, see, when you're going through, if you can just say thanks, because when the praises go up, you know how I go. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
and close and thank you. How are you going to bring you through? Thank you. Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mother Gloria. Thank you so much for
Hallelujah.
Anointed.
Praise God.
And amen. And we are just receiving and believing in the name of Jesus that everything that was lifted up will be answered. Amen. Let's move into our lesson for this evening. Before we do that, I'd like to inform you that we are doing Zoom as well. The Zoom number is 505-563-6808. That's 505-563-6808. And the password is Psalm 23, capital P-S-A-L-M 23. And if you would like to call in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you tune in, you can be a part of this evening. Amen. This evening, we have a reader. Our reader is going to be Aletha Stokes from out of South Carolina, and she will be reading, and I will do the interpretation. My interpretation did not come from me. It is coming from a scholar by the name of John Wesley. Amen. My studies came out of his works. So I will just be sharing with you with what my research and studies have come up with, and we can kind of go from there. These are not my words. These are from the scholar, John Wesley, if you would like to go back and do your own research in reference to that. Okay, Lisa, would you please read 31, starting off with Proverbs 31.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV Bible. Sayings of Agar. First one, the saying of Agar, son of Jechaiah, an inspired utterance, the man's utterance to Israel. I am weary, God, but I can prevail.
Amen. And here, John Wesley is identifying Agur as unknown. He is unknown. His identity is unknown. And here it seems that he is a humble man. He is a humble man. He's observant and he is inquisitive. And these are this is an oracle, and the oracle of his message is a weighty message. Amen. Agur's words are addressed to Ithil and Ucal, whose identities are also unnamed. Amen. They're addressed to Ithil and Ucal, whose identities are unnamed. Okay, as we move on, could you please read 32 through 4? And we will stop, and if there's any comments that you would like to share, we will stop and make time for you. Amen. 32 through 3.
Surely I am only a brute, not a man. I do not have human understanding. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I attained to the knowledge of the Holy One. Who has gone up to the heaven and come down? Whose hands have gathered the wind? Who has wrapped up the waters in a cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is the name of his son? Surely you know.
Amen. And in here, John Wesley identifies, he's saying that he's calling himself the most ignorant man there is. The most ignorant man there is, a man among men. And here's this is someone who is arrogantly claimed wisdom. Amen. He's talking about the person that he challenges to answer him. He's challenging him to answer him when he's asking these questions. Amen. Folks, thank you. We see you coming on. Thank you so much for joining. Amen. He is talking about ignorance, how ignorant he is. And Augur is also wrote that he is less than human intelligence. He's saying that his intelligence is less than our human intelligence because of the things that he is lacking. Lacking wisdom because he didn't know how to identify God as the Holy One. He didn't know how to identify God as the Holy One. He's knowing God is the basis. He said knowing God is the basis of true wisdom. And we know that through studying Proverbs, that knowing God is the basis of true wisdom. Amen. He's going on and he's talking about in four, as we read four, there are five questions in the verses that he's asking God. There's five questions in the verse that he is asking. He's asking for God. And could you please read 31 through, continue with four.
I just read four. You want me to go five through six?
34:1. Maybe that's the way I wrote it. Okay, my apologies. And it says the only answer to these five questions in the verse are only God can go up to heaven and come down, reminding us who Christ is and that he is the Son of God. He's also saying that only God can hold the wind in his hand and control the wind. And when we look at John Wesley is saying that figuratively that he's talking about the wind in his hand or controlling the wind, he's talking about wrapping the waters that we receive, the rain or the clouds, wrapping them up in a cloak. And perhaps maybe just he's talking about just the clouds, but taking those clouds and he's saying that he can wrap them up in a cloak, just with his bare hands. And when I look at this, look even further, Job talks about that also. In Job 26:8, Job goes on to say that he bindeth up the waters in his thick cloud, and the cloud is not rent under him, is not under them. And Job talks about that. And only God has a fixed a place in this earth where he can do all these things. When he gave the sea the bound, the waters that did not pass, he's saying that God commanded this when he laid the foundation of the earth. Okay? And he also goes on, he says, the question is, what is his name? He's asking out of true character, what is his name? What is his name? What is his name? He suggests. He has imparted his nature, and he's talking about his attributes and all the things that God can do, being that he's the Son of God. When we go look at Proverbs, it says, tell if you know how God reflects on the desires of the nature. How God reflects on the nature on the nature that we know of. How does God reflect on that? He's asking all these questions. So no, if he's asking God, tell me these questions. But he's asking in a humble way. Please understand, it's not arrogant. He's asking in a humble way. He's asking in a way where he's observant and he's inquisitive. He wants to know. Job went through the same thing when he started asking God all these questions. And Job was humble. Job was humble. Amen? Let's go on to, if you could read 35 through 6.
Every word of God is flawless. He is shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar.
Amen. And here we're talking about man's knowledge of God through his word. man's knowledge of God through his word. And he's emphasizing man's ability to know by himself the nature of God, to know by himself. If you want to know God, you have to study the word of God is what they're saying here. And it goes on to say, it shows how God may be known through his word, which is flawless. 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 Sometimes people talk about changing the word of God. And it's saying flawless. What is flawless? Something that's purified. It's like silver. Man cannot know God only because man can only know God. Only can know God because he's revealed himself through his written word. Amen? The infallible scriptures are his written word. And it's saying that those who trust in his word trust God and have a personal relationship with him. And when you have a personal relationship with God, then you are shielded. You are shielded because of your personal relationship with God. God knows you. He already knows you. But when you submit to God through studying the word of God, then God is going to shield you. So no matter what storms that you may go through, what challenges you may go through, but because you have a personal knowledge, a personal knowledge of the word, a personal relationship with God, that God is going to shield you. Amen? Proverbs 3:35, let's journey back a bit. In Proverbs 35, it talks and says it's almost identical to Psalms 18 and 30. And 18 and 30 in Psalms, it talks about warning. It talks about warning not to add to his word. Warning refers to the danger of adding to God's word. Amen? Adding to human speculation of the divine revelation. We cannot have the ability to add to God's word. When we read God's word, it is what it is. It is what it is. The word does not change. The word does not change. And it goes on to say, John Wesley goes on to say, that man should derive an understanding from God through the study or the theology of the word. Not from human ideas, but from God's word. Let me tell you something. Here, I got to say that God rebukes those who think they know more of God than what he has revealed about himself. Amen?
Amen.
And what he has revealed about himself. In fact, they're often so far off base that God, that God calls them liars. So far off base because they're telling the people what they know of God, and God has not even revealed it to them. So God is saying that they're liars. And they're so far off base because they're so far off base, they are categorized as liars. As liars. Amen. Go on.
Amen.
Let's look at man's prayer to God, 7-9. Please read.
Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God.
Two words are the things that introduce in this series, and it's talking about the six numerical sayings in this chapter. The prayer of the two things. What it's saying, John Wesley is saying, is it affirms the humility introduced in here. It is affirming the humility that's introduced. You know, Edgar is humble the way he's acting, okay? He's realizing his frailty. And the writer here, he asked the Lord for specific help in two areas of his weakness before he died: protection from lying and provision of a daily sustenance, which is his bread, amen, or the word of God. And without the temptation of wealth or poverty, that wealth might cause him to disown and forget the Lord. Wait, let me say it again. It's saying here that wealth might cause him or might cause a person to disown and forget about God. They focus on the money and forget about where it came from, who provided it, who gave them the sustenance. Because he thinks that he can care for himself because of his wealth or her wealth. Let me go ahead and add that there. Let me go ahead and add that there, okay? We don't want to forget about you. Thinking that if he or she cares for themselves and positive, and here, once they begin to start to think that they're caring for themselves, watch this. Poverty might cause them to steal and thus dishonor God's character. Poverty will take you to a place that you don't want to be. If God is not with you, it'll cause a person to steal, and by stealing, you're dishonoring God's character. Let's move on to observations about life. Amen. And this is advice that Agur is talking about. Would you please read 30:10?
Do not slander a servant to their master, or they will curse you, and you will pay for it.
Amen. John Wesley says here that the verse is warning not to meddle in another person's domestic affairs. In other words, stay out of people's business. Amen. Mm-hmm. And it's saying here also, John Wesley says that a master may curse the person who falsely accuses his servant. But here's in contrast, it is an undeserved, accusing another person is an undeserved curse. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that this saying may stand as being self-contained. The person is just going to slander another person and falsely accuse them of something that is undeserved. Deserved, that when a person is falsely accused, they're accused, and they're saying when you accuse a person, that's a curse that you're putting on another person. That's a curse. Amen. Let's move on to 11 through 14.
There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers, those who are pure in their own eyes and yet are not cleansed of their filth, those whose eyes are ever so heartless. I'm sorry, how you pronounce it? Hately? Whose glances are so disdainful. Those whose teeth are swords and whose jaws are set with knives to devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among mankind. That's the end of it.
Amen. And here, these are four kinds of undesirable behaviors. John Wesley calls these four undesirable behaviors. Amen. And these four kinds of people are mentioned are those who are disrespectful, hypocritical, arrogant, and oppressive. And he goes on and says, the sin of cursing one's, when we go back and look at the Old Testament, and I was doing some research, the Old Testament shows that a person who cursed his parent violates the fifth commandment. And that fifth commandment is a committal to a capital offense. Death was the penalty for cursing and rebelling against your parents. Or in other words, it's like having your lamp snuffed out. I don't know about you, but if I came with my parent during that time, we only own the first one, but come with my parent and I curse my parent, when I saw in terms of what having like your lamp snuffed out, you know, that means that hand went back and that hand came forward and all I saw was stars. All I saw was stars. But see, I'm not going to get into that because you don't know what I'm talking about. Nobody knows what I'm talking about then, all right?
Oh,
nobody
yes,
knows
I
what
do.
I'm talking about.
Oh, I do. Same household.
Yeah, we know.
We go on to two. People who think that they are pure. Those hypocritical people. They think that they're pure. Amen? Morally clean before God. They are not cleansed of their moral filth of sin because they're hypocrites. They are not cleansed because of their moral filth of sin because they are considered hypocrites. The third one is haughtiness. And the fourth, the Lord despises when he looks at, talks about, he's saying Agur's attitude to humility and reverence. He had an attitude of humility and reverence. We, the people of God, do we have an attitude of humility? Do we have an attitude of reverence? Do we reverence God for who he really is? Being the Alpha and the Omega, being the God who created the heaven and the earth, being the one who provided food to put on your table, being the one who put a roof over your head. Do we take that for granted, or do we reverence God and wake up and thank God every day because of what he has provided? Help our children's sakes. Protected us from danger, even when we didn't even realize it. Reverencing God. And when we look at Proverbs, it goes on to say that only he can go up to heaven and come down. It says only he can go up to heaven and come down. Talking about reverencing God. It is reminding us that Christ is the Son of God. The Son of God. Staying on our word, studying our word, we are connecting with God. When we're reading the Word of God, God is talking to us, and we are talking to God, and it becomes a one-on-one relationship. Amen? And then it goes on, it says, people who oppress the poor or the needy, or anyone that's needing help, oppressors, if someone is an oppressor, John Wesley goes on to talk about, he says, it's like someone that has ferocious, it's like a ferocious beast who has sharp teeth. And they pray. They go out praying for those who can't do for themselves. They go out praying for those who are needy. They go out praying for those who are weak. And that's what he says. And when I look at Psalms 14, it says, will evildoers Now, someone who is an oppressor that goes out to hurt the needy and people who are needing help, the oppressors. But Psalm goes out and says this. It says, will evildoers never learn? Who devour my people as men eat bread and do not call on the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Eat people as bread rather than eating on the word of God. Rather feeding on the word of God, they feed on those who are less fortunate. They feed on the needy. They feed on people needing help, pretending that they're going to help them, but in actuality, they're trying to get as whatever they can. And God is saying that when you feed on people and do not call on the Lord, then you are an oppressor. You are an oppressor. Let's move on. Four things that are never, that never satisfy. 30:15-16.
The leech had two daughters. Give, give, they cry. There are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, land, which is never satisfied with water, and fire, which never says enough.
Hmm. Amen. Four things that are never satisfied. Four things they're saying here is the grave, the barren womb, the land, and water, the fire. Four things that are never satisfied. The grave, the barren womb, the land, and water and fire. And it's saying here the grave wants to take more in of the dead. The grave wants to take more in of the dead. The barren womb longs to give birth to a child. The land always wants water and fire, and it wants to continue to consume. Continue to consume. And it says death and fire are destructive. And it goes on to the contrast between the womb and the water are life gifts. But the other two, greed always wants more. Greed always wants more. Amen. 30:17.
I'm sorry, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures.
Okay, this is the point to the fact that where you just disrespect parents is as bad as what we just talked about, greed, insatiable greed that was mentioned. Let me say that again. It says the fact that disrespecting for one's parent, we talked about how bad that is. It says it's as bad as insatiable greed. When a person is greed and can't get enough, and we talked about the four things where greed is always wants more, okay? Always wants more. And it says here's the parent. When there's greed and you don't, and you disrespect one's parent, it's saying it's as bad as insatiable greed, which we just talked about. And going on, that when you have parents, because of how a parent is treated, they will eventually die. They will eventually die. In other words, you kill them with your words. You kill them with your mouth. They will eventually die. You might see them in the physical, but in the spiritual, they're constantly dying. because you're sending them to the grave. And it goes on to say that the corpse will remain unburied and food for birds of prey. That's the curse that you put on your parents by cursing them and not honoring them. You're sending them to the graves. And when you send them to the graves, they are unburied for food for birds of prey. That's pretty deep. Let's move on. I'm trying to get through this. Four amazing things it talks about here. That's 30:18 through 19.
There are three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a young woman.
Okay. What do the ways of an eagle in the sky, a snake on a rock, a ship on the ocean, a man with a woman have in common? Okay, and it goes on to say that John Wesley says that it suggests that they're easily master an element which seems to be difficult. And another writer talks, he suggests that they each go where there are no paths. They each go where there are no paths. The eagle in the sky, they go where there is no path. Snake on the rock, they go where there is no path. A ship goes where there is no path. And a man with a woman goes where there is no path. Constantly chasing after women, constantly going after women. They chase where there is no path. And it's the way of a man with a maid. Maid refers to a man's affection. In terms we talk about, and we know what that is, just courting a woman. You know, constantly courting women after women after women after women after women. There's no path. There's no path that's established. There's nothing established because you're constantly going. Not fixed on one particular thing. Amen. We go into warnings, 30:20. Warnings.
This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong.
Here, John Wesley says, is not a man's way with a woman, but an immoral woman's way with men. Let me just say that again. Here is not the man's way with a woman. So in other words, the man thinks that he is capturing the woman, but in actuality, it's just the other way around. But an immoral woman's way with men. She takes a casual approach to her sinful ways, treating them as lightly as eating a meal and then asserting that nothing is wrong with adultery. Amen.
Amen.
Four unbearable, unfair things. Proverbs 30:21-23, we're getting there, and I will open up to you. Right.
Under three things the earth trembles. Under four it cannot bear up. A servant who is becoming king. A godless fool who gets plenty to eat, a contemptible woman who gets married, and a servant who displaces her mistress.
It's saying, John Wesley says here that three lists of people are creatures that pertain to leadership or perversion. And earth trembles and cannot bear it. And also, he talks about, he says, the earth represents the people who are on it. The people tremble because of social turmoil and follow the sudden elevation of inexperience, okay, unqualified people to a position of power. Amen? So when we're looking at this, we're talking about people who are getting in positions who are unqualified. Being placed in a position and you are unqualified. And that's what it's saying here, that you have a high role, that you have a position, but you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. Don't know what you're doing. And that's what he's talking about here. And that's basically the gist of that. Amen. And it says, harmony in society is encouraged when people maintain their proper role and do not assume positions that they are incapable of handling. Let me say that again. Harmony in society is encouraged when people maintain their proper roles and do not assume positions that they are incapable of handling. That's when there's harmony. When it's out of harmony is when people are in positions where they don't belong, because everything is almost like it's unbalanced. It's unbalanced. Amen. 24 through 28, we're talking about the wise things, four small wise things.
Four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Hyrax are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. A lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it's found in a king's palace. You said to 29?
28.
Amen. Okay, that was him.
This verse builds on the thought, which refers to wisdom triumphing over physical strength. And John Wesley introduces this as a small but wise creatures such as ants. Though they have little strength, they survive because of their foresight. You ever watch colonies of ants when they're carrying food or they're carrying anything, the colonies? You know, they're small. They're able to, whatever it is they're trying to get to, that hole or wherever they're going, they do it together.
Mm-hmm.
The ants, they do it together. It's like it's almost like an army. Almost like an army. Army, amen? And that's what it's saying. Even though they're small, but they're wise, amen? Because, and it goes on, it says, locusts have no apparent leader, fly in an amazing order, and can devastate miles up like an approaching army. Locusts, we hear about that. How locusts come, they just destroy crops, amen? It's not just one, but they come in groves. But it seems to be, even though they don't have a leader, but they can devastate crops, amen, almost like an army, okay? They have no apparent leader, but they fly in amazing order, amen? A lizard so small it can easily be caught by hand, may be seen in a king's palace, seemingly having to run the run of the palace. Because it's so small, that lizard is so small, it can go through cracks and crannies, and no one even knows that it's there, going all over the palace. And it says two ideas emerge from these two insects and two animals. Physical limitations may be compensated for the other. And it goes on to say, since God protects and provides even the humblest and the lowest of his creatures. Let me say that again. Since God protects and provides even the humblest and the lowest of his creatures, he certainly will provide for his own people. Amen. Amen. I mean, that's a hallelujah right there, knowing that God is going to, if he can protect, you know, these little creatures, surely he can protect you and I. Amen.
Amen.
30, 29 through 31.
There are three things that are stately in their stride. Four that move with stately bearing, a lion mighty among beasts who retreats before nothing, a strutting rooster as he goats, and a king secured against revolt.
And here John Wesley saying that in contrast, lowly creatures, there are four things that appear to be noble in their bearing and walk. The lion, from whom people and other animals, when they see a lion, people retreat because of its strength. The strutting rooster, because of how it struts. A male goat with that is arrogant and the appearance. Or a king who may strut with pride and is seemingly invincible with his army and because of his presence. Amen. And so here we're talking about in terms of pride. We're talking about pride. These in God's order things, some creatures are small and humble in position, but they are more prominent. It doesn't make a difference what size you are, okay? It doesn't make a difference what size you are in terms of what you need to accomplish, amen? Even the smallest of a human being can accomplish great things. Even the small can accomplish great things, just as the biggest can accomplish great things, amen?
Mm-hmm.
And we get on to Proverbs 32 through 33, which are in our closing.
If you play the fool and exalt yourself, or if you plan evil, clamp your hand over your mouth. For churning cream produces butter, and a twisting of the nose produces blood. So stirring up anger produces strife.
And in closing here, Agar talks about in terms of creatures who strut in pride, amen, or a person who struts in pride is a person who has played the fool, amen, meaning that they are spiritually insensitive. They are spiritually insensitive. They exalt themselves by planning evil because they think more of themselves than they do others, amen. And a person like that is always going to cause trouble. They're going to cause trouble. They're going to cause trouble. And Job talks a little bit about that, you know, because when it talks about in terms of clasping, putting one's hand over a mouth, it's talking about being silent. But listen to what Job has to say when he talks about in reference to that. Seeing that man is not the world's master and that God controls and cares for his creation, Job acknowledged, his insignificant unworthiness comes from being silent, amen, being silent and being insignificant in the eyes of the Lord, his inability to defend himself further, okay, his saying that he does not condemn other people, amen. He does not condemn other people. Humility. That's why humility is so powerful, being humble in the midst of others and saying it's the most powerful thing that you can do. Amen. And also learning to be able to control that tongue that can tear a person down and send them to their grave. Amen. Learning to control a person's tongue. Amen. You can curse a person. And you can condemn them to death just by the words that you use. Amen. And when we look at it, and we look at this, it says here, never again would Job approach God like a stately prince. You know, when Job got to the point, he's asking, you know, about all these things, you know, that happened, you know, and he had to be humble. We talked about that earlier. Job admitted that he could not respond to God as God had challenged him to do. His only response was silence. His only response was silence. Let me tell you something. When God wants to set you straight, all you can do is just be silent. All you can do is just be silent. Okay? You're not going to fight with God. All you can do is just be silent. Okay? And learn your lesson and get your lesson. Amen? Get a lesson from it. And when it says, I put my hand over my mouth, was a way of saying that he should stop being proud and making trouble. Pride and anger works against humility. Let me say that again. Pride and anger works against humility, and that's where God wants us to be humble. But pride and anger works against that. So, in other words, pride and anger works against God, being a godly man, being a godly woman. Amen?
Amen.
I am going to open up the mics. I know we're at the end. I think I did pretty good finishing all of this. But I'm going to open up the mic. If you have any comments that you would like to make, the mics are open. The mics are open if you have any comments. The mics are open. Anyone online, anyone on Zoom, any comments, anything that you heard that resonated in your spirit that you would like to share with the body of Christ?
This was a wonderful lesson, not just for young people, but all of us need it. Well, I need it, the reminder to the part about parenting. We don't hear that enough nowadays about respecting and honoring your mother and father and what it means to honor your mother and father and how to do it. But we don't hear that enough, and it was good to hear the version too that that I think it was reading from. Very good.
I enjoyed the portion. This talks about the things that never get filled.
Yeah.
Oh, that when you talk about making a deposit in somebody's spirit, it really made a deposit in my spirit, because one of the things I've always said, I even said on Blog Talk Radio, givers have to have a limit on their giving, because takers don't have a limit on their taking. And as we see right here, it the grave, a barren womb, earth without water, and fire, they never get enough.
Mm. Amen.
So if a person is actually living that street lifestyle, I say, well, I got it from my great uncle, the late Reverend Clarence Merritt. You may get blind for it, won't get away. One of these three may get you if you lose.
Mm.
They called you to do some things that you said you wouldn't do. Well, I'm on fire. Let me be quiet.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Hey.
Anyone else like to comment anything that you gleaned from this the Proverbs book? Amen. I'm assuming that no one has anything to make a comment that you want to share, and that's okay. That's okay. My comment is, you know, as long as you was fed, amen. We've sat at the table, the Word of God. We fed on the Word of God, and the Word of God says, taste and know that I am good. Taste and know that I'm good. So when you sit down to feeding on the Word of God, know that it's good for your spirit. Know that it's good for your journey that you go through day to day. Know that it's good that when you go through your challenges, know that it's good that whatever you're going through, good. It's good. We don't look at it as bad. Look at it as good. You see, because God gave us the term impossible. Know that it's good. Amen. So as we come to do I hear something?
No, I got the phone going.
Okay, that's you. I got a feedback. Okay.
Okay, my phone.
Amen. West Virginia, Sean, did you like to make a comment?
I ain't got no comment today. Mistaken.
Amen. Well, we thank God. Thank God that you are out of the hospital and that you're doing well. And God has placed you back home. So we have been praying for you, and we will continue to pray for you, my brother.
Appreciate it.
Okay, we're going to come to a close. As we come to a close, once again, we do thank you for being a part of this hour. Amen. I just pray that God used me as a vessel to be able to speak into your spirits. Amen. It's not about me, but it's about God. Amen. I do not try to lift myself up. All I'm trying to do is just basically study the Word of God so that I can pass it on to someone else that they may be able to gain something that is beneficial with their walk with the Lord. Amen. We all will never, ever be able to know enough. Okay? We'll never be able to know enough. We're always constantly learning. We always constantly are growing. Amen. Constantly are trusting. Amen. And we are always constantly remaining faithful to the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. Well, as we come to a close, we'd like to invite you back next week on Proverbs 31, which will be the end of Proverbs. Okay, remember, we love you.
I have